In his cottage at Roy Carpenter's Beach in Matunuck, Kevin McCloskey lays out on his counter several aerial photos of what this beach town looked like in the 1970s and 1980s. Senator Sheldon Whitehouse and West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin hover over the photos, listening to stories about buildings the community has had to move because the beach has gradually worn away. McCloskey's own cottage, where he's invited the senators, will move to one of the back rows before next summer.
So anyway, this is my heaven. I'm giving this up to go in the back row because the community is worth it down here. So
now tell me why you're giving it up, because of...
Because we had put this into effect prior to Hurricane Sandy to move the first two rows to move in the back.
We have to move. We, you know...
I don't want my my house falling in the ocean, because when I go diving down there, I see remnants of refrigerators and stuff in the ocean.
Really?
And that bothers me.
Nancy Thorson jumps in. She owns this oceanfront land where people have built nearly 400 cottages.
And the people in the front two rows did not want to move. There was a lot of grumbling at first. And after they saw what happened when Sandy came by, and three of the houses ended up disappearing into the ocean.
Thorson remembers a storm well.
The houses just washed away, disappeared. And two more were halfway down the bank out here, and they were in ruins. And all the rest that was still on the row there were pretty badly damaged. Some of them have been saved and have been moved back. Others were demoed and are being rebuilt.
During this day-long tour of Rhode Island, Senator Manchin also talks to scientists who bolster the stories shared by fishermen and these coastal property owners. Grover Fugate, the executive director of the Coastal Resources Management Council, tells the West Virginia senator that Rhode Island is very concerned about rapidly rising seas. In the past decade, the rates of sea level rise have almost doubled from previous decades.
And the concern that we have is that CO2 is obviously the major forcing factor in this.
Fugate shares a graph that shows a strong relationship between the global rise of carbon emissions and sea level rise over the last 400,000 years. He says sea levels have been stable for the past 2,000 years, but now their rapid rise is wearing away the coastlines, such as at Roy Carpenter's beach. Fugate says a neighboring South Kingstown town beach has also lost a lot of beach, especially after Superstorm Sandy.
That erosion, according to our calculated erosion rate, should have taken 100 years, and it took less than 20. So something is up.
The owner of the Ocean Mist Beach Bar, just a few miles away from Roy Carpenter's beach, puts this erosion into perspective. Kevin Finnegan and the two senators stand on the back deck overlooking the ocean. Finnegan remembers how he'd be able to hand over beers to his customers from his deck, but he can't do that anymore because there's a steep drop. At high tide, the sea comes up right under the building.
When I bought this place, my head would be here, and I would hand you a beer. I bought it in 1988, so... stayed like that for, say, 10, 12 years. And then
so
after,
you're staying to be...
I could stand over here. And
you could stand there.
There was a volleyball net. There was two volleyball nets there.
What?
The top of the volleyball net was...
Where did it go? Where'd it all...
Out to sea.
Out to sea. Well,
with all the storms?
Storms, small storms, just day-to-day stuff. Not so much the big storms, but the day-to-day, just day-to-day.
So what's Manchin's takeaway?
I can go back now, I think, and say, listen, I've been on the front lines, and I've watched the environment. Effects that we have, and to say it's not real, it's just not reasonable.
Manchin heard from scientists who told him that carbon emissions are behind rapidly rising sea levels and about the urgent need to curb those emissions. The Environmental Protection Agency is trying to reduce carbon pollution from one of the nation's largest sources, power plants, which account for roughly one-third of all of the country's greenhouse gas emissions. Senator Manchin represents coal country. He's a vocal opponent of the EPA's plan, saying that the proposal to cut emissions from power plants doesn't balance the country's need to protect the environment and its energy needs. And this visit hasn't shifted his position.
I like to think we're all environmentalists, but I'm coming from a realistic point that you're going to use it, and I want to be energy secured, and we're going to use the coal that we have, and it's part of our economy, but still yet, until there's a new fuel of the future that's as dependable, reliable, and affordable, and it's a base load, then you're going to use what we are able to produce for you, and we want to continue to be able to do it. So work with me, and that's where I think I can say that we're trying to find that balance.
Even though Manchin didn't change his mind about efforts to reduce carbon pollution from power plants, White House still considers Manchin's visit a success.
I
didn't invite Senator Manchin here thinking that he was suddenly going to have an epiphany and turn into a greenie and come to the next climate march with me.
White House thinks Manchin is a smart and reasonable voice from a coal state and is someone who can connect with some of the Senate's more conservative members.
Some of whom believe that the whole climate change problem is a conspiracy designed as a foil to allow people to expand the role of government and take away freedom.
White House believes hearing a message of urgency will carry more weight coming from Manchin. In many ways, the West Virginia senator represents how complicated and challenging it is to address climate change and advance action, but he also represents hope with his willingness to learn, listen, and collaborate. And in Rhode Island, collaboration to take action on climate change is already taking off among the state, municipalities, businesses, and universities. Ambar Espinosa, Rhode Island Public Radio.